Welcome to Foes and Fables, an actual play D&D podcast, and we're here with another entry in the Spyros mini-series, Hiatus. I'm your Dungeon Master, Nathan Augustine, and I am joined by not multiple, but a singular, incredible player.
This is David Sturgis playing Leon.
Yeah, that's it. It's just Leon.
Ha ha, Tanner, you don't get to be part of this.
Yeah, this is
like the second time ever.
Yeah, this and Scooter's Hiatus are the only Foes and Fables things that Tanner isn't a part of. Crazy.
But he gifted me a Laszlo die in honor and protection.
Which is so nice of him.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, like, you and I are in everything except the playtest.
Fair.
So... But yeah, whatever. A few things to remind you. We're still using the stamina point system that we use in our single player campaign. Our single player campaign, the playtest. It's on Patreon. Go subscribe if you want to listen to it. But a reminder for how that works. This is a hiatus modification, and we will continue to modify this system until we feel it is good. But for now, this is what it is. You have stamina points, and they are... The amount you get is your dex modifier plus your proficiency bonus, which cool. Leon has 4 for his dex modifier. So that's he will have 7 because we are level 7. So his proficiency bonus is 3. The points replenish at the start of your turn. You can do an evade reaction that costs 3 stamina points to completely evade an attack, and that includes critical hits. There is a movement buff as a bonus action. You can use 2 stamina points to move up to half of your movement in addition to your normal movement. And then, of course, the fabled and very broken use, I think, so far is... the crit standpoint, and that is when you must dump every single one of your standpoints. Doesn't matter how much you have, min or max, they must be all of them. So in this case for Leon, it is 7, and you still need to roll to hit, and you must choose to crit before rolling to hit. So if you miss, you wasted all your standpoints. But I think that has yet to affect anyone. So that's pretty cool.
And evade is also a reaction, right?
It's a reaction, yes. Evade's a reaction, movement buff's a bonus action, and the crit is just kind of attack, like a special reaction, or special action. With that, let us begin.
Oh shit, it got dark in here, y'all.
Empty black. The screeching whir of a tool pierces your eardrums, scraping at your newfound consciousness, grating and painful.
Newfound.
Your hands clawing for a helpful touch are bound and unmoving. Muffled sounds slither their way through the noise. What would be a woman's voice? They sound dry,
logical, cold.
Images appear as you open your eyes, overstimulated by the light above. Is this the son of Spyros? Spyros. A name you understand already. How? 4 individuals begin to materialize from the unrelenting brightness of the star. Blocking out said star, they rotate around you as they prod at you, gaze upon you, hurt you. You feel a rising strength within you, the blood in your veins rushing to each muscle as they flex and stretch to break from your bright prison in an animalistic rage. You burst forward out from your cell of birth. Roll initiative.
Oh my fucking god.
With expertise.
With expertise.
Double it.
Oh, with expertise. So...
double your...
initiative.
Yeah.
That'll be 26.
Amazing.
Well, time to start killing.
26. Yeah, you are definitely first. Let me explain a few things here. For this encounter, you have advantage on every single attack, but only can use your unarmed strikes. But each unarmed strike deals a d10 plus 2 for this encounter, and you have 2 attacks per action. You have no equipment or anything, but all of your ability scores will just say are the same for right now, as you are at level 7. It is your turn. You are in this bright lab environment, work light, awful, just your vision is blurry, your ears are hearing muffled sound. It's not fully there for you yet in your senses, but you do feel very alive. It is your turn.
I think I just, I pick up on like a rougher male voice and I just fucking leap straight at them, claws out.
Hell yeah. There's four other people to attack.
Yeah. Cool. Two attacks.
Great.
That'll be a 15 and a 9.
Both. The 15's hitting, the 9 isn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
That will be
D10 plus 2.
Yes. 7 damage.
You straight up murder this person. How do you kill them?
I just dripping like viscous, I assume from the shell that I was born in or whatever. I just grab them, and as like goo is going down their eyes, I am just digging into them and gorging through their skull.
Oh my god.
That's right, you don't like eye things.
I hate eye things, dude. The guy, what's his name? Pedro Pascal in Game of Thrones, dude. That death is so brutal. I fucking hate it. I hate it so much. Okay, great. Whoa. That guy's dead.
Cool. As a bonus action, I guess.
Yeah, do you have a bonus action you can do?
I mean, I guess not. Because two weapon fighting isn't relevant, and I don't really need to dash, disengage, or hide.
Okay, great. Well,
I just howl.
Here's the, they all hear this howl, and they are cowering. And two of them run past the one you just eviscerated and start pounding at the door, while another one kind of is slowly backing away towards it, but is a little more in shock. And that is all they do. It is your turn again.
I feel like the pounding noise is what would get my attention the most.
Go right ahead.
So I'm just going to run up and I'm going to attack. I'll do these attacks one at a time on them,
yes.
Considering I seem to be
in a situation.
That is an 18.
18 will hit.
Cool, and for the other one, that'll be a 17.
They're both hitting.
Cool, so on the first guy, that will be... that'll be max damage.
12 damage. How do you kill this person?
Let's see what the other one is first.
Okay, great.
That'll be 16 damage.
16? How?
No, not 16. I looked at the plus 4,
Okay.
So that should be 14 damage.
Okay. Even that's not possible. 12 is max. D10 plus 2.
I don't know how to math today, guys. I've been staring at the same screen for the past 8 hours.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That would be a 10, actually, because I'm now remembering how math works.
Well, you kill both of them. How do you kill both of them?
I think as they're pounding on the door, I just pin both of their hands to the door, just led by the sound of the pounding, and just scratch down their arms to their neck and just rip outward.
Oh god, this is horrible.
I had a feeling this would probably be one of the more violent of the three.
Yeah, definitely.
Just given Leon's temperaments.
Yeah, a little bit. You rip and tear through these two people who were pounding at the door for mercy
Great song.
As you relentlessly shred them. And there's one last person in here, and she kind of stares at you and says, "This isn't the end." And it's your turn again.
13?
That's hitting.
Damn. Such a far cry from that fight, actually, against her.
Oh, yeah.
That will be a D10 plus 2. I'm saying it out loud this time so
nice.
I can do the math out loud for everyone else. Because no one's here to do my math for me.
True.
That's 8 damage.
How do you kill Lupus?
I think I, like, kick her down against the wall and just, like, paw on chest, just cave in her sternum.
She lets out this... dead within seconds. Sirens are going off.
This has technically been 18 seconds in terms of how D&D combat works.
This is true. But they weren't ready for that. Sirens wail. Bright lights blink at you. The four corpses are littered about you. One of the only sounds now being the frequency above of the light above your place of birth. A singular star. A singular planet. Four moons. Spheros. War. Leon has entered a Colonel-occupied tomb forest. Selfishly, an effort by Thornquilt to salvage his great loss in Hub to Cabin 3 to survive his rapport with Haven and his newfound control over himself no longer being possessed by the shadow person, Shadrach. With acting on his own desires, Thornquilt has taken matters into his own hands, recklessly entering the tomb as it was left unoccupied by any kind of leadership with the Night Tree fading. He has set up his encampment surrounding the Night Tree, using its energy to fuel his colonel and destroy the surrounding land for resources. Slowly but surely, Thornquilt and his colonel army have been chipping away at the heel of the forest. Thornquilt has received support and allegiance from both companies of Nabrasina and Okimonoki, the swamplands to the south, effectively choking the forest from both sides. Nabrasina has sent food and equipment, while Okimonoki has sent soldiers. These soldiers were provided specifically from its current overseer, Clamprot, a massive otter who has been Okimonoki's head leader for some time.
That's so fucking cool.
An ally of the tomb, but has recently shifted his allegiance to Nabrasina for unknown reasons.
That's so not cool.
Leon leads a company he has created, with some help coming from Hub, as well as some straggler residents of the Tomb Forest. Stragglers are people in the tomb who did not leave in the exodus to Camp Rabbitfoot. This company includes Thelonious Grain, an elf of Hub and head strategist of its defenses. A straggler druid of the tomb named Nerald Swarmhold, a large, rugged, and bald man with a swarm of bees for a beard.
That's so fucking dope.
And Ron Castley, a cast iron skillet camper from Camp Dingo Bingo who has wandered off from their camp unknowingly of their counselors.
Why is he here?
Much time has passed and great efforts have been made by Leon and his company. They have been beaten down hard by Thornquilt and his militia. We now join Leon and his small army of Hub Elves and Tomb Stragglers in their last-ditch effort to save the Night Tree and Leon's home for good. Leon, you awake from your dream in your tent. Please describe the state of 19-year-old Leon as well as your tent where you reside in this war camp.
So I've actually been thinking a lot about how Leon ages.
True.
Because I feel like it's different for him than maybe, you know, a normal person. And so the way I picture it is, so obviously wolves age similar to dogs, and I hope you know how dogs age.
True. I do.
Bats... technically, bats show very, very few signs of outward aging.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then the rest of him is just like elf blood. So I have imagined it as like the elf blood is what gives him sort of like his bone structure and like his humanoid shape. Mm-hmm. But I think over time, the older he gets, the more the like bat parts of him and the wolf parts of him kind of take over any of the human sort of skin elements.
Okay.
So I think in the last 2 years, like the half of his face that's human, like the wolf part has started to kind of encroach over it. And it's like now maybe like a 2/3 cover or something even.
Okay.
Fur is sprouting from even more places in his body. It's kind of patchy right now. Kind of like a patchy beard for an 18-year-old, but it's his entire body.
Yeah, right. Just so much body hair.
Yeah. It's still the same pair of pants. So all the rips, there's like wolf, there's like hair coming out of it just a little bit. Yeah. And the claws on each of his hands just grow longer and more bat-like and lupin.
Very, very cool. What does Leon's tent look like? It's well-sized. It's very sizable because you are a leader in this operation.
I think Leon, partially not understanding exactly how the tent was supposed to function from the start, did cut almost like a little hole in the top and then string it along so that he could see like the actual night sky out of it.
That's awesome.
Semi-defeating the purpose of the tent, but giving him that area of like peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tent still just makes it look as much like the forest as he can. Like, probably sleeps on the ground with like just a blanket or something.
That's amazing.
Like wrapped
totally
up like a dog.
There's totally a bed in there that someone like put in there for
it's
you.
It's like a really nice, like it is a king like sleep like a god bed, and he sleeps at the foot of it.
That's amazing. Just like a dog. Wow. Nice.
Fungophone is fucking screaming somewhere in the woods.
Oh yeah.
And then just. It's just filled with leaves that have fallen from trees. Like, he just tries to fill it as much with the forest as he can. Almost as if when he packs up the tent, he can pack up Tomb and take it with him.
That's nice.
The already feeling sentimental about leaving.
Yeah.
If he's even going to get to leave.
And he's been here for so long now already. Amazing. Kind of giving you no time to rest. This tiny little iron skillet with two legs bursts through your tent fold and is like,
Leon, I think Thelonious and Nerald are looking for you.
Ron Castle is this really short iron skillet, and his face is like the skillet is horizontal and parallel to the ground, and 2 feet sprout out from the bottom of it. He has no arms or anything, and his face is two sunny side eggs and two strips of bacon for a mouth, and that is how he communicates and personifies with others.
I've missed this so much.
He also sports some really bright red sneakers. So he is similar to age in you, but yeah, he kind of bursts the tongue. He's like,
Thelonious and Nerald are looking for you. I think it's kind of important.
Okay. Hi, Ron. Hey. Have I missed anything? Like, how are you doing? How's your morning going?
Oh, you know, just dealing with war and stuff. You know, I kind of, you know, my story. Yeah. I just kind of got lost and now I'm here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming along. It was weird. You were just so down so immediately to help.
I just was really looking for a purpose, and I, you know, it's a really crazy story in my life. I wandered so far from Camp Dingo Bingo.
You're just kind of looking for like the first group that'd take you in, like the world's first subscription service type deal.
Yeah, but I'm not really paying for this at all. And also there's been subscriptions in this world for sure for a while, I think.
I don't know what that word even means. Oh, let's go.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let me follow me.
And Ron exits your tent, and upon exit of your tent to follow Ron, you see the tomb around you yet another morning. It's not nearly as dark as you'd like it to be. The sun has crept its way through a once dense canopy of the tomb forest, a sign of its decline. Your encampment is bustling, recovering from the last battle within the Notchers, and it was a good push that aided in gaining some land back for use, but ultimately ended in many losses that you couldn't really afford. People nod to you in respect and or simple acknowledgement as you pass by. You can kind of interact with whomever or whatever you want in this moment.
I was gonna say, I think I would stop and talk to them. So I think one place I do go before even meeting up with Nerald and Thelonious is I go to like our injured, like our infirmary if we
like
have
a med
one.
Tent. Yeah, you do. You go there, and this medical tent is run by a straggler spirit orb, much like Nibel. It's not Nibel, but it's run by one, and they glow this like seafoam green kind of, and they're very very frantically running about the tent trying to tend to everyone's needs, and they notice you come in and quickly float on over to you and go,
oh, hey, Sir Leon, sir. Sir, hey, how are you doing?
Good. You're at ease.
Oh, okay, thanks.
How is rough start to the day?
Last night seems like it was a narrow victory for sure, but happy to be here, happy to help. I'm glad I actually didn't leave to go to Camp Rofa, because I'm helpful here.
Yeah, no, you've been... What's his name?
Bulbot.
Bulbot. No, you've been a massive help, Bulbot, and I wish you were safe, but I'm really, really thankful for the help. I could not have done this without you. Get back to whatever you need to do. I'm just here to help as I can.
Yes, sir, Leon, yes. Okay.
Is there anyone in particular maybe needing any help, needing some encouragement, anything?
Actually, there is this person over here, and he quickly floats over to a cot with an elf, probably from Hub.
Mm-hmm.
You could assume that is just missing both their legs.
Yeah. I don't want to assume Bulbot, being a little spirit, could like lift these or do a ton physically for some of these people. So I'm wondering if like there is like
Bulbot, is any way I can help with care for this patient?
Sure. Here I have.
If you need hands.
I have some of these temporary resources
way, let
here.
Me know.
Oh no, you're doing this is great. I needed a little help, honestly. And Bulbot kind of gathers a bunch of tomb resource type things, like essence of tomb light and a bunch of herbs and other things, and brings them to this cot. I essentially just need to stabilize them. They're in a lot of pain right now. I've stopped the bleeding for the most part from their legs, but they just need some pain relief. So if you could take care of that, I actually do need to run over this way to help some of the other medics. Thank you.
Go, I've got this.
And Bulbot zips away to help some other medics.
I think as I start to prepare the medicine for this person, are they like awake?
They are, but they're in so much pain that it's kind of like just being there, but not really responding to much of anything, just very much focusing on how much pain they're in.
Yeah. I think rather than make them do anything physically, I want to like do my psychic link thing with them, and I go like into their head to talk to them.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And just, I think first, I kind of just, so last one's part, I just kind of like open myself up.
Oh, wow.
To their experience, to like essentially like literally feel the pain with them in their head.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
And just like wash over them, but like, I know it hurts. We're gonna get you healed. We're gonna get you home. You're gonna see your family again. I'm gonna do everything I can. And thank you so much for fighting for something that wasn't even yours. And I will do this for you.
They sweat and grunt and pain and very beet red in the face, but you can tell with this telekinesis link that they acknowledge it.
Yeah. And then I make the medicine as best I can.
With where you've been, what you've been doing for the amount of time you have, you are capable of this. Roll a medicine check, though.
Oh, yeah.
Do it with advantage.
That went from a 2 to a 19.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You are very successful at creating this pain relief medicine, and it is strong and very effective. And you administer this medicine to this patient, and the pain seems to subside as they stop squirming and relax as the medicine sets in.
Yeah. I think I just kind of like almost just like kind of stroke their head, like stroke their hair to comfort them, hopefully as they fall asleep, and then I think I get up and I leave to go see Narrowed and Thelonious. But along the way, I probably stop and talk to tons of injured purple.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like any good leader should.
Yeah, yeah. You are showing face, and you are here and a part of things.
We know the books we've been reading.
Yeah, yeah. You're there, and it is very much noticed and appreciated.
Yeah.
Great. Ron kind of just stood by your side mm-hmm. for a bit and understood what was going on and didn't press you to be any quicker right. or to rush what you were doing. But Ron is still kind of like, okay, let's go over to let's go over to their tent now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron just kind of plots over.
I
like
steal myself as I go over there to be someone that I'm kind of not.
You walk into Thelonious Grain's tent, which is where most of the strategy and planning has been taking place thus far for this war effort. It's decorated with many rugs, tapestries. It's lit well by glowing orbs that float around the place. And there's a very large table with a map in the center of it. And Grain and Nerald are leaning over it. And Nerald sees you and Ron enter and he goes, Leon, good to see you, lad. Nerald, fairly large man, sun-kissed skin, covered in hard armor and wielding a large staff. And of course, he has a bald head, which is contrasted by his heavy buzzing beard of bees. Mm-hmm. And continuing to hunch over the map, you are not greeted by Thelonious Grain, a fairly lean and tall elf who is also wearing pristine copper armor. And he has a medium length hair and a pair of circular glasses that float in front of his face. They do not rest on his face. And they move with his head as he leans over the table. And he simply says, maybe we have one last try.
I think I kind of straight myself walking in there and I go, well, with Nerald's resounding hello, I think I give him a hug, like dap
big,
him up.
Big hug, like really like Leon's not super built. So like Nerald is
very lean.
Nerald is pretty opposing when he comes to embrace you and he squeezes harder than anyone should.
Telemannus ass build.
And he kind of slaps you on the back and guides you over to the table where Grain is.
Nero, Thelonious, status report, evaluation of last night, next moves.
Nerald kind of steps in. Well, we did lose many in that last battle, and the Notchers, as much as the Notchers are an advantage to us, they are also an advantage to the opposition. So we're trying to bounce back, but according to some intel, we may have found a way in. Thelonious, Grain kind of stands up. Well, I gotta say, the animal folk of Okeemonokee, they are typically, you know, they bounce back a little slower, but the colonel does not. And another, but I must say they have very, very scheduled maintenance times. We have gotten intel from them that we can use where we will infiltrate their base head on during one of these maintenance schedules. We'd be able to get in without too much resistance, I think, with less than usual. And I think it would provide a lot of cover for us. We're thinking about it. I feel like this would be a Hail Mary, as some might say. And he kind of leans back over the table and is studying a map. And it's the Notchers, so it's like very scribbled over and redone many times, as you can tell, because the Notchers are so hard to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
You being one of the best people at doing so. But they kind of look to you, and Ron is just kind of standing behind you, just listening.
Right.
He's just been kind of one of your best buds, giving you a lot of, like, companionship within the last few years.
Because I can't trust a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Is his quiet, like, common in the situation? Like, is he normally this
Ron?
Quiet? Yeah.
Ron is pretty quiet in the war-type meetings. He likes to listen and get to... I mean, why don't you roll insight?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a 16.
Okay, yeah, with a 16, you've been around Ron for a good while now. He didn't show up right when you got to the Tomb Forest. He kind of stumbled in there while you were in the midst of it all and has taken, like, he's made it his home now with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really seem to know a lot about like war tactics. And so in this moment when you guys are talking war tactics or talking shop, mm-hmm. he is simply listening and happy to be here with the people he seems to feel safe with.
Okay.
Yes. Ron Castley is chill.
Right.
Yeah. And Nerald kind of looks to you and says, what do you think?
So me trying to just kind of get a kind of a picture of the map. So like we took back the Notchers. I assume that's where we're camped out right now, roughly.
Pretty much. Yeah. You're in the Notchers. Yeah. Maybe, west of the Night Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then enemy encampment, I'm guessing, is out towards like the Madlands, not Nabrazina.
The enemy encampment that
I know they're on both sides, but like the one we're working against,
the main one that you're working against is Thornquilts, and it is around the Night Tree.
That's right. Okay. I look at Thelonious. I'm like, Thelonious, what are the recent evaluations of our numbers versus their numbers?
Not very good.
I know I'm probably overthinking it because I can't plan for everything, but I have to go as crazy as I can.
My bees have seen as much as they can. We tried to get them...
I don't know why that killed me. Just need me to... My bees have seen what they can.
Yeah, I mean, his beard has been doing reconnaissance for him.
So fucking rad.
And
God, I want a new character. I want to be him.
You
want
to be Nerald Swarmhold?
Cool, I guess. I'm sorry, what was Nerald saying?
Yes, my bees have seen many of the things, and this maintenance schedule is something I can confirm. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we might be able to catch them while they're down. We had very severe casualties last night, but so did they. So it might be advantageous for us to strike sooner rather than later.
And we know Okaminoki soldiers are largely animals.
Mm-hmm. Mostly animal folk, not constructs.
Not well, Thelonious, I'm thinking with maintenance working, we send a third to a half of our force to hit that straight on as a bulwark, as if it's a final charge. And what if we route the rest of the crew down the south end of the Night Tree and up the river along that edge to try and mask their scent from the animals to run a flank?
I think that's a great idea. I think we need to surround them as best as we can and maybe surprise them, maybe come at different times slightly to catch them off guard.
With the scheduled maintenance, let's split our army into five groups, A through E. Groups A will be the main bulwark that attacks during maintenance to draw their attention. Group C will then route up through the river to try and mass their ascent to get that first flank. As that flank then draws enemies more towards the south end, we have a groups C and D posed on the northeast and northwest sides to the north, hiding, waiting for that signal drawing them to the southern end towards the river. Then they come in, and our fifth acts as support units to try and heal, reinforce wherever holes start to open up in our army.
I think that's a splendid idea.
Thanks.
I smack your shoulder. Nerald slaps you hard on the back as he believes it to be a good plan, and Thelonious.
Do I believe it to be a good plan?
No. Rolling to believe yourself. Do I believe in myself? I rolled a 10. That's a really... I don't know. Do I believe in myself?
I rolled a 4.
I guess you don't. And I guess if... I might? I'm very middle of the road. Thelonious agrees with your plan with a nod.
The maintenance is tomorrow, so we can do all we can today to plan for such a action. I think I will stay in here and make sure that all of the groups know what they are supposed to do. You can suit your time to whatever you see fit. Nerald, keep up the bee work. They're always working.
Nerald decides to leave the tent, and Grain goes back to looking at the map and also sending signals to some lower rank but leadership in the encampment. And Ron is kind of like a dog at your heels and is just following you around. Yeah. What would you like to do in this moment?
I do think I say also before, I assume how strong of trust would I have probably in Thelonious and Nerald?
Thelonious and Nerald?
Yeah, because they've been here since like day one.
Yes, Thelonious has been with you since day one because he came from Hub with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so him, I full trust.
And Nerald is...
He was living here.
He was a straggler of the tomb, so...
So yeah, full trust.
You can full trust cool. for both. so... Yeah, Nerald exits, Thelonious starts doing what he does, and you're left to do what you do, whatever that may be, whatever you see fit. You can visit any parts of these encampments. I'll also say that there has been an option for you for a long time since you've been here. To send messages to either Scooter or Laszlo, and you have not yet, I will say. And there is like a booth essentially to do so within the encampment where a lot of Hub elves have been contacting their homes and other things because it's not really too hard to do so at this time and age on Spyros. And you can contact pretty much anybody, but obviously Scooter and Laszlo are the people
top of mind
that have been around, but you have yet to contact them.
Well, I think, well, one of my plans for tomorrow morning is to use the Psy, like, bolstered like the psionic whispers thing I can do to I'm gonna mind link with like the main people of my army so that we can have like a telepathic link throughout the battle.
Amazing. So probably because like
Thelonious, obviously
Thelonious, Nerald,
yeah, whoever. Obviously, I mean, I have the ability to do this with three people, so probably okay. Thelonious, and I'll probably be with group B, the first flanking squad, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Not the mainline. So I'll probably link with Thelonious, whoever is leading squad A, and then the squad, one of the two squads that's going to be the secondary flank, so that I can give them the signal of when to come in.
Okay, cool.
And I probably, that's just a known strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely known.
But yeah.
Thelonious is definitely a leader of one of the squadrons, and Nerald, we'll say Nerald is one too. Ron is just going to be with you,
right?
And then, yeah, I mean the other ones are kind of led by other
notable, strong
notable,
people.
Yeah, leaders in the encampment for the tomb.
Cool. I think I just evaluate my mental just like space for people and like be like, who are any weak links, who might defect, who might be a hole, like just kind of analyzing the personnel of the army to see if any of to see who may be a potential threat to the security of the plan. Not and not just the security, but just like the stability and strength of it, because I know it takes one break for it all to fall apart.
Right. Why don't you incite your army? I'll roll something for them too.
That's a dirty 20.
Wow. Okay. Your relationship with your troops and your peers has been very good. It's been notably good. You don't feel like you've had any trust issues with people. Only bouts here and there on like maybe deciding what it is that you are exactly going to do next. simple deliberations.
Yeah, natural.
Yes, yeah. That are very simple, trivial, and just more or less trying to whittle your way to a plan of action that seems the best. So you feel pretty comfortable with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love being as untrusting of a human being as I am.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
The fact that I don't know scares me.
Here's the thing.
I think like then
you've been here for so long and nothing's really gone wrong to tell you that someone
is bad.
Would defect.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, also the fact that I haven't sent a message, but I've been able to imply so many things, given that I've already listened to Laszlo's and Scooter's, and Laszlo hadn't heard from me by the end of his time, which tells me where I am in this line. Audience, I've been bugging the fuck out. If you can't tell, if it's not painfully obvious to you, I had to listen to everything, whereas the other two haven't listened to mine, obviously, before theirs, because I'm the last to record. So I'm scared.
He's drawn out the mental yarn everywhere.
And the problem with that yarn is it's on the wrong wall, I'm sure.
The problem is there's no wall.
God, do I send... Would I be able to send a message to, like, Nibel and Nomu at Rabbitfoot, assuming they're there?
Oh, you would know that they are there. You haven't heard from them. But... Yeah, you can send a message to them.
I do think I send a message to them.
Okay, great. What do you say?
I get in the little phone booth.
Yeah, it is. It is hilariously like an old toll booth. It doesn't really feel right, but it's
like
there.
Bright red, like London City Street.
Yes, and there are a couple guys that are in charge of this thing, and they hate it. They hate it so much. It feels like it breaks down all the time. Yeah, and yeah, it's ready for you to record a message.
Nomu, Nibel, it's I think it's the last effort of the war. I hope I can tell you soon that our home is safe. It's damaged, it's not the same, but change is a part of Tomb, as much as this change kind of sucks. I miss you. I think of you every day. And... I'm gonna get our home back. I'm not gonna lose. We're gonna get our home back. I love you both. Be well.
You click the phone back onto the slot.
I think Leon just carries a little bit of doubt with him and also is... I think Leon is proud to be defending his home. I do not think Leon is proud to be a war leader. Because there's just a lot going on in his head, which...
Yeah. How do you think this amount of time of this much tactical warfare has affected Leon's mind?
I think Leon is... I think since Leon was born, except for those... few precious years in Tomb, and even then it was there too, but not as much. All he has known outside of Tomb is fucking violence.
Yeah.
Like, from birth.
It's quite literally the first thing he did.
Yeah.
We just established that.
And so,
that.
I think Leon, in his brighter moments, believes he's doing the right thing for Tomb. I think in his darker moments, he thinks he is the reason this is happening to Tomb, as if he is the source of violence in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of Laszlo's final words to Leon were, "You are a killing machine." And I think that was meant as encouragement. And again, in the brighter moments, I think Leon is like, no, like, I am capable of this. And I think, though, that insidious voice that is in our heads, like when he has lost troops, when he sees the injured, when he's laying in his tent at night, staring up at the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that phrase, you are a killing machine, turns less into an encouragement and more into a curse and a prophecy of that is what you are, that is all you will ever be, and that is all you have ever brought to this world. So I think Leon is aware that he is haunted. I don't think he is aware he is fully haunted by the effects of war yet.
Okay.
He just knows that it is fucking with him.
Yes.
And more importantly, with everything that he loves.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And granted, also, he was having, you know, a whole lot of issues before he even got here.
Fair.
So it's just... He is on a razor's edge mentally.
Yeah.
But he refuses to show weakness because he is a leader in the war.
Word. Don't you just hate when you're a leader in the war?
Yeah.
It's the worst, man.
Yeah, we've led so many wars.
True. I've done that a lot. Yeah, you send this message to your old friends who are in refuge at Camp Rabbitfoot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do not message Leon, or I do not message Laszlo or Scooter.
Mm-hmm. And you carry out through the day. Is there any last things you would like to do?
I would visit the troop leaders for each.
Yeah.
I would break up the army, do the strategic things of like talking to those leaders, telling them the goals and the plans and what they're supposed to do. And I think, honestly, I would try to find like a couple hours of peace.
Yeah.
And I go to just a small creek or just a clearing in the sky. And I just kind of sit there in silence. And I pull out the sort of essence of the night tree that I gathered last time I was in Tomb.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I just stare at it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost just less a prayer and more just a being in nature.
Totally.
With it.
Didn't you grab it from the night tree specifically?
Yes. Like I gathered the essence of the night tree.
Okay, word, yeah.
And I think I just take a small little nap, like cuddling with it.
Yeah, holding it very close
just
to
you. Just like the one good thing I'm trying to do is protect this tree at this point. And I can't believe it's been surrounded.
It glows and, like it used to, but the shimmer is not quite as bright as it.
Yeah, I probably do like reach out to it psychically like I did that one time where I got to talk to it, even though it's... I've probably done that every single day.
Yeah, you relentlessly tried and tried to communicate with the night tree, but you also haven't seen the night tree yet in this entire experience.
Because I'm assuming it's the objective.
It is. It is the objective.
Of the enemy army.
Because you know that is where Thornquill is placed, and that he has been using it to
farm
resources. And energize his militia.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the end game.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's happening tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, strategy's laid out. I think all I do is encourage and rally my troops as I try to encourage and rally myself.
Amazing. You go back to your tent, lay back on the ground, let the moon warm you, and you go to sleep. Ron Castle likes to sleep in your tent every now and then.
He's the one using the bed.
he actually gets in the bed, and the sizzling sound of his bacon mouth is like a weird soothing white noise for you to sleep.
I want a sound clip of just that sentence. The warm sizzling of his mouth is a white noise for you to sleep to.
His bacon mouth on his ever hot skillet face.
He leads the pyros team.
He does like fire. He's great. He's better than any gas stove. Nice, even cook. Amazing. You're probably up before most, but the encampment is starting to awaken and fully prepare for its assault on Thornquilt to regain the Night Tree. And everyone's kind of doing their thing. Everyone's bustling, getting ready. It's the day of, so it's pretty go energy right now. Ron wakes up and he sees you and he's like, "Wow, Leon, I'm really excited to use my war horn. Do you think I can use my war horn this time? When we show up, at least?"
"I think, yeah, Ron. You're going to get to blow that fucking horn."
"Yes! I'm so excited!"
"That's the signal for the other groups."
Yeah. "Oh, perfect! That's going to be amazing!"
"Yeah.
And
me knowing full, I'm also going to be screaming at them psychically."
We pan over to like one side of your tent that you don't really look at a lot, I guess, and there's this massive war horn, like way too big for anyone to carry. And Ron walks over to it and is like, "Well, good thing I've got sneakers of holding." And he...
What?
He kicks off his sneakers and then with his feet starts to like jump on the war horn down into his sneaker as he stuffs the massive war horn into his shoes. And
"You've then been able to do this the whole time?"
"Yeah, what? You've definitely... Yeah, you've seen me do this, right?"
"What?
You no. You haven't?
Ron, this could have been useful like several times in the war effort."
Did
Thelonious know about this?"
I thought he did. Everyone knows about my shoes of holding."
"Why am I here?"
"Maybe everyone is me."
"We could have done so many..." "Regardless, thank you, Ron, for all of your service."
"Oh, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm really excited today to blow the war horn."
You know, there's been a lot of death."
"Yeah.
Like, this shit is dark."
"I don't know how I'm alive."
"Your optimism is refreshing."
"I feel just really lucky to be here. I feel lucky most of the time, actually."
"Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely don't leave my side.
Okay,
I'm
sure.
Gonna need that luck."
I'll be around. I'll be right behind you. Don't worry. Or I'll be right in front of you. I'll blow the war horn. Ooh.
I can't believe I've trusted this guy so long for so well."
I'm a great guy."
You say that like out loud, and he's like,
"Yeah, I'm pretty great."
And then you can meet up with you kind of go to the edge of the camp to kind of reconvene with everyone, make sure everyone knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Make my psionic whispers.
Yes, you're doing that with...
So I have 3 because it's my proficiency bonus. So I'm doing it definitely with Thelonious.
Yes.
Definitely with Nerold.
Uh-huh.
I assume Thelonious is leading from where?
I think the main way, like just west to east, just like in, like just direct. Because you're in the flanking like, party from the south, yes?
So he's in the main group, like group A.
Yes.
Sweet. Where is Nerold going to be? Would he probably be in the other flanking group that I'm waiting for?
Yes.
That's going to get the signal then?
Yes, he will go before your squadron, I believe, yes? Or after.
So there's A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
A is the leading charge. B is the first flank, which is me. Mm-hmm. So A will have Thelonious. Nerold should be in probably C or D to lead those secondary flanks once the enemy is drawn to hit them from the back end.
Yes.
And then group E is just the support group who's going to be kind of shelling around the entire Night Tree to just offer support and fill holes where they notice them.
Great. Okay, yes.
So yeah, definitely connecting with Thelonious and Nerold to be able to communicate and signal between the groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably someone from group E, the support group, so that I can know where their movements are.
Let's just say Bulbot is...
Rad.
Leading that one. He's got another spirit straggler that's taking over the medic tent while he is in absence.
Hell yeah. All right, cool. Can't wait for this plan not to matter. And let's see how long that lasts. It lasts for 4 hours.
Okay, great. That's a long time.
Yeah. Hopefully the length of the rest of the war.
Hopefully. Okay, great. I'll say that Thelonious and Harold and Bulbot give their last words with you before this big invasion. And you all go your separate ways and get in position for the invasion. Thank you all so much for listening. That was Leon's Hiatus Part 1. We will be back next week for the conclusion of Leon's Hiatus. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you can, go and rate us 5 stars. Join us on Patreon. Follow us on socials. Join the Discord. Do everything we love. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.